is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Brazil, the election is moments past, but the controversy continues. The headline this morning that is of most interest, Bolsonaro, the former president, eyes return to Brazil as U.S. stay pressures Biden. This is U.S. News and World Report. The explanation is the Biden administration, subhead, is under growing pressure from leftists in Latin America, as well as U.S. lawmakers, to expel former President Bolsonaro from a post-presidential retreat in Florida following an attack by his supporters on Brazil's capital. To help me interpret this extremely difficult story, I welcome my colleague, Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, first to explain Bolsonaro and Lula da Silva, the new president of Brazil, who has been invited to Washington next month, February, by President Biden. So President Biden is between the Bolsonaro presidency, former, now under review everywhere because of a riot, disorder, violence at the capital, Brasilia, in these last days, and Lula da Silva, who represents the old Lula da Silva, a man who was jailed for corruption, the new Lula da Silva, who spoke at his inauguration, that he is going to root out and confront the Bolsonaro forces. That was days before the conduct of Brasilia. Professor, I fall silent because this is subset of explanation. Your measure right now about Bolsonaro returning to Brasilia, will this aid the situation or will this inflame it? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. To some degree, this will probably inflame the situation, but I think it's important to point out that there is no, at least public concrete evidence that the Bolsonaro was actively involved in the inspiration of protesters. It also goes to the question of what type of speech is permitted in democracy. While it was clear that following the election, Bolsonaro suggested that he had won more votes, and indeed, some of the polls show that some 37% of Brazilians, even after these violent events, were in favor of some form of military intervention, and 40% continue to think Lula did not win. The key vehicle is, although certainly there was evidence that there was coordination in social media among Bolsonaro's supporters, what is absent right now is clear evidence that he had called for or actively encouraged these. Indeed, he was in Miami at the time. He was in Florida at the time. And so we are in an element of guilt by association, guilt by implication, although certainly the difficult relations historically between Bolsonaro and President Biden from the beginning of President Biden's presidency and President Biden's own experience with a difficult political transition means there's probably been no love lost. And Bolsonaro understands that, he certainly wouldn't be able to get, political asylum in Washington. So there's a certain logic that he's going back to Brazil to face this rather than appear to, hide or to be in exile. It also important to point out that while you've had these violent protests and now it was relatively rapidly suppressed. A number of the perpetrators were held up in a gym while the police and military tried to sort out who to arrest and who to release. And so there's clearly political consequences of what these protesters did. And clearly the protesters were through previously being camped out in front of the military barracks in Brasilia, looking to create enough of a problem to see if they could provoke military intervention. But the question of what Bolsonaro will do when he comes back is up there. A key role of the Supreme Court overseer of the election, Alexandre de Moraes, who already basically has ordered the arrest of the former Justice Minister Anderson Torres, who was also in charge of the public security in Brasilia for, apparently it would appear really not doing enough to allow the protesters, into these buildings. And so there are a lot of it's a really gray situation with respect to social media. to me, there's been a lot of presumptions, but there's no clarity in terms of what Bolsonaro's role, if any, actually was in this particular protest, which may be more different from what happened with the U.S. January 6th than many people like to assume.
It is striking how the two incidents compare and contrast, and the editorialists and the news writers are making it clear that there is the suggestion here that Brasilia was staged just because it was so familiar in the recent investigation of January 6th. What is most important here is to mention that at the time, the legislature was not in session. The building was largely empty. Lula da Silva was nowhere near Brasilia. I believe he was in either Rio de Janeiro or another part of his country. Bolsonaro was not in country. He's said to have gone to Florida for treatment from abdominal pains from the stabbing in 2018. So much of the conduct at Brasilia was, as Ross Douthat says in a New York Times piece, theater. Yes, but behind this is passion. So a moment to review these two men and what they represent to the vote in Brazil, and what they represent to the rest of the continent, indeed all of the New World Report. Bolsonaro is often described as a far-right executive during his 4 years, just one term in office, whereas Lula da Silva is described as a left-of-center or a leftist. What does that mean, Professor? Because this is Brazil. It's not the United States. It probably is not a one-to-one analogy.
Well, you certainly make an important point, John, that the difference between right and left, liberal, conservative, is very different in Latin America than it is in the United States. When Lula first came to power during his first time in 2003, he came from what was seen as a relatively radical party, the Workers' Party, the PT. And indeed, there are many fears by investors that he would impose a fairly radical agenda, not unlike what had happened with Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, who was then the most recent example. Lula, although coming from that, what was seen as really kind of a mobilizing unionist background, looking at, again, institutional, mobilized labor interests. That was really kind of Lula's core background. He ended up governing in a fiscally centrist way to reassure markets, while he did allow a certain left orientation in his foreign policy. Now, certainly there's the question of whether he became radicalized during the time that he spent from 2018-2019 in prison on what was no one has said it wasn't a real corruption charge. He was just released on a technicality. But this time around, Lula has clearly been more in a kind of a big government statist oriented posture on fiscal grounds. He has indicated that his number one priority would be the struggle against hunger and poverty. He's already taken moves to indicate that he would raise the spending cap. He's moved instinctively against a number of Bolsonaro's programs, some of the gun control legislation. He has come out in a way that he wasn't really previously in terms of prioritizing the protection of the Amazon, and has worked with the Europeans to reactivate a suspended program in that realm. And so Lula himself, in many ways, has already shifted toward what would be a more traditional big spending left, although his foreign policy to date has not been clear. We can remember, for example, that he was reluctant in the coup in neighboring Brazil, I'm sorry, in neighboring Peru, or at least the ouster of President Pedro Castillo in neighboring Peru to say that was a coup. Now, Bolsonaro, as you also pointed out, came in as really kind of a bit of a populist, not unlike President Trump. He had actually some conservative positions on issues which went to really Brazil's rural and oftentimes neglected base, a base that was neglected by the transformation of the Brazilian economy. And so in terms of family values, in terms of things like making it easier for Brazilians who wanted to use guns for hunting and other things to get guns, Bolsonaro was clearly in that social conservatism. And yet at the same time, Bolsonaro was also fiscally, he pushed a traditional right agenda in terms of privatization, trying to make the state more efficient, so trying to get rid of some statehold things in the electricity and energy sector, as well as moving forward with trying to ease up on regulation. So there are some traditional elements, but certainly Bolsonaro's personal style, it was very populist. Certainly Bolsonaro's attempt to push some institutions in his favor and challenge decisions by institutions, that degree of populism led many people to not see him as a traditional right that just happened to have a social conservative bent, but see him as populist in the sense that he was against institutions. Although it's fair to say that there have been concerns about Lula, that Lula in the same way, but on the left side, although currently Lula is the one who's, appears to have been threatened by a challenge to Brazil's institutions. There have been many times when there was a fear that it was Lula that was bending Brazil's democratic institutions to his favor.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, providing the background to this present drama where supporters wearing yellow and green T-shirts suggestive of the recent campaign of Bolsonaro crowded in great numbers with their iPhones and their Androids to take selfies of themselves and their friends. There was a festive atmosphere, at least in the photographs I saw, in and around an abandoned building where windows were broken, of commenting on the background to that. However, the region itself is responding to this event in Brasilia, and the region in particular is not stable. There's a transition underway because of recent elections in Colombia, in Chile, in Peru, in Bolivia. And so we turn now to how two presidents have responded. That would be the new president of Colombia and the new president of Chile, because what happens in Brasilia doesn't stay in Brasilia. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.